Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, April the 19th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everyone is having the best week that they possibly can. I know a lot of us are still quarantined, you know, stuck either at home or, you know, kind of doing what you wouldn't be doing normally in your everyday life. And just another week, you know, the last few weeks here on the show have kind of opened it up the same way. But it's just one of those things where obviously that's the biggest thing that's happening in our world right now, and I hope everyone is doing the best they possibly can be during this time. But this week on the Weekender podcast, I have for you, some results, and also we're going to be talking about a lot of news from the wrestling world this past week. So as far as results go, I'm going to be talking about Impact Wrestling, because they're really the only show that had new content this week from what I normally cover. So I'm going to be giving results for this past Impact TV show, and I'm also going to, of course, give you my recommended show to watch on IWTV. I'm going to give you a recommended free match you can watch on YouTube, and the bulk of the show today, I'm going to be talking about the released talent from WWE and NXT. A bunch of releases this past week, terrible week for, you know, the WWE and the performers and all that stuff. I'm going to get into all that, And so normally I don't talk about, you know, the main roster, you know, Raw and SmackDown type stuff here on the show, but, or even the NXT show. I cover NXT UK, but there's no show to talk about this week. So the way that I kind of relate this, though, to the Weekender is a lot of these talents that, you know, got released over this past week from the WWE and NXT, I think a lot of them are going to land in various places. And because this is a show where we talk a lot about independent wrestling and all these companies outside of the WWE and outside of AEW, I think that what we'll do today is I'll go kind of person through person, or person to person, I should say, and I'll give my opinion of where I think that they should land, where they should go, what company to go to. And this isn't something where, you know, I'm happy to see anybody lose their job, nothing like that, but It's more so, you know, this is the spot that we're in. This is the spot that the performers are in currently. And I want to see a lot of these people back on, you know, on either major TV shows or even back in the WWE. A lot of these talents, I think, will be rehired once things go, you know, quote unquote, back to normal. I think a lot of the talent will get rehired back to WWE very quickly. And I'll talk about that as well while I'm going through the list. But there's also going to be opportunities. If you can see the silver lining in any of this, there are certain superstars who seem to be happy with these releases, or at least expecting these releases. And so there is a silver lining there, because I think that some of these talents are going to be, I don't want to say better off, because a lot of them, I'm sure, loved working for the WWE, but they're going to get new opportunities that I think might up their stock significantly. And we'll get into all that. So that's what we're going to hear today on the Weekender. So before I get started and all that stuff, we're going to start with the recommended show on independentwrestling.tv this week. It is Game Changer Wrestling's Lights Out. So the company is called Game Changer Wrestling, also known as GCW, and the show is called Lights Out. This show happened in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday, July the 21st, 2019, and it was in the Basement East, which is the building that SUP, Southern Underground Pro, used to run out of for years. And their company I talk about a lot here on this show because I lived in the area for so long. And that building, the Basement East, was actually destroyed by a tornado just a handful of months ago, probably 3 months or so ago. So that building is no longer there, but I believe it's being rebuilt, and SUP ran a show out of a different local venue for their last show, kind of as all this pandemic stuff was starting. And obviously, you know, none of these companies are running shows currently, as far as, you know, with a live crowd, and a lot of them not running anything at all. But as far as this show goes, this was a great show. I did not attend this one live. I wish I would have. I kind of sat on getting tickets for too long. It legitimately sold out. And then by the time tickets kind of reopened the day of, I was already kind of comfortable. I don't know how else to say it. I was kind of comfortable on my couch. People were hitting me up from the show like, hey, where are you at? You know, where are you at in GCW? Because everyone that I normally see at shows assumed that I would be there. All the, you know, a lot of the time, I would attend these shows either with like one friend or just show up myself alone, which I would normally never do for like a sporting event. But I've met so many people, you know, just through going to these shows that I've, in my opinion, formed some pretty great friendships with some of these people. So it's great to just kind of, you know, just be able to show up somewhere and like you have people to hang out with. And yeah, a lot of those people were hitting me up wondering where I was at for the show. And I was just telling them like, I'm comfortable on my couch, to be honest. Like, I'm just going to stream it. And yeah, I'm just going to watch it at home. But I, if I had tickets in advance, it would have been a different scenario, but tickets were opening so randomly. And at that point it was just too late for me to want to make the trip. So, I wish I would have though, in hindsight, because it was a great show. The first match is KTB versus Blake Christensen. After that, Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greeny and Kevin Koo, took on the Carnies, which is Nick Iggy and Kerry Offal. And they also took on the Rejects, the team of John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley, in a triple threat tag team match. We had Effie versus Orange Cassidy in what is just a complete styles clash. Not AJ Styles' finishing move, but a complete styles clash. Effie, if you're unfamiliar, I've gone down this road a few times on this podcast of kind of repeating myself about Effie, and I'm still not on it. To be transparent, I'm not much more educated about this stuff than I was those past weeks when I talked about it. So I'm still might be a little bit off in what I'm saying here. But Effie, to my understanding, is a queer wrestler. Like, he identifies as queer. He's definitely, when he wrestles, has very like homosexual type things he does. It's similar to kind of like really early Goldust, where he kind of makes his opponent uncomfortable by kind of like enjoying what he's doing in the ring to some of them, if that makes any sense. But I have some friends that are like huge Effie fans, and he's really created quite the fan base for himself on the independent scene. And so, you know, I wish nothing but, you know, good things for Effie. He's not really my personal cup of tea as far as wrestling is concerned. But on the flip side, Orange Cassidy is. I love Orange Cassidy, one of my favorite performers in the world. And Orange Cassidy is somebody who, I'm not going to ruin anything about this match, but it's somebody who can play off of what Effie's doing in a very entertaining way. So, you know, shout out to Effie and Orange Cassidy for that match. Really fun stuff. Very different stuff if you're not used to watching that kind of wrestling, especially on a show like GCW, which is more so known for kind of their hardcore deathmatch type stuff. After that, we had Rich Swann versus Tony Deppen. Everyone at this point knows Rich Swann with all the work he's done over the years. Tony Deppen is somebody that, if you're unfamiliar, you're going to hear his name more and more, I think, in the coming years. He's kind of showing up all over the place right now, and he's somebody who you can always rely on having a really solid match. Matthew Justice versus Brett Eisen versus Vance Warner. I'm a huge fan of all three of these guys. Huge fan. Of all the matches on this show, this is the one that, on paper, as far as like when I see all the names that, you know, were on this show, I get the most excited looking at this triple threat match, because Matthew Justice, I've said it before and I'll say it again, he is on like the top of the totem pole, in my opinion, of independent talent that isn't signed to a major promotion. He's somebody that if he signed to, you know, AEW, NXT, or WWE or whatever, I think he would get over wherever he went. I think if he went to somewhere like Impact Wrestling, he'd be like an immediate main eventer. I'm not necessarily saying I would want to see him in Impact Wrestling over AEW or NXT, but he's somebody that's just kind of to put that in perspective. I think he's somebody that in somewhere like Impact or like Ring of Honor or something like that, he'd be like an immediate main event star, in my opinion. And then in AEW or NXT, he's somebody that can absolutely hold his own, and he would absolutely get over. I have no doubt in my mind. He checks every box. He has the looks, the size, the athleticism, the right mix of just being willing to do crazy stuff in the ring, but also does, you know, a little bit of everything. You know, huge, huge fan of what he's doing. You also have Brett Eisen, who I've talked about a trillion times on this show. Really good guy. I've interviewed him before my podcast. I talk to him in person every time I'm at a show that he's performing on. Like, he's a guy that of you know, I've had the very fortunate opportunity of interviewing a lot of independent wrestlers, and even interviews that like aren't on the record. I've had a lot of just interaction with a lot of these guys and girls when I go to these shows. And Brett Eisen is one of those guys that like I legitimately, I don't know if you consider me a friend, but I consider him a friend. You know, we don't know each other like super well, but he's somebody that I have a tremendous amount of respect for what he's done, especially for Southern Underground Pro. He's somebody that really put that company on his back. Like, there's a lot of people that you know it took to make Sup what it is, and I'm just a fan. You know, I'm just a fan, and I've interviewed some of the guys and girls and stuff, but like, and the promoters and whatnot. Like, I've done my best, in my opinion, to spread the word for that company the best that I can, and spread the word for the promoters and the and everything. I even made a My Sacrifice, like an old My Sacrifice WWF style video. I edited this whole video together for that company a while back. Like, they didn't even ask me to do it or anything. That's how much I love that promotion and the people that are involved with that, because it gave me something to really look forward to when I was living in Nashville, as far as the wrestling scene went. Like, there just wasn't anything else really like Sup that would run shows as often as they did, and the type of wrestling and storylines and stuff that I really, really enjoy. And Brett Eisen is somebody that, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people that I could talk about that helped build that company. You know, guys like AJ Gray and Kurt Stallion, and even like Joey Janela, like, by him coming in as early as he did to do some stuff with them, it was huge for the company, in my opinion. There's so many people, Alley Cat and Dominic Guarini, and so many people. But the person that I think really took the company and put it on his back, like, when he was the Bone Storm champion, his title reign, like, it was perfect. Like, he's no longer the champion. The champion is currently AC Mack, who's also the action wrestling champion out of a promotion here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And there's a feud between Action Wrestling and Sup currently. And I expect Brett Eisen to get a shot at AC Mack sometime in the near future to try to reclaim that title. But he's somebody that, you know, he just kind of, I don't know if you can call him the face of Southern Underground Pro, but he's the first person I think of when I think about that company. And to see him able to wrestle on this show, because I believe he was this was a special, like, because I haven't watched this show, I haven't watched the show since it aired. But I believe that Brett Eisen was a surprise entrant in this match. And he's somebody that's just, like, for him to get that opportunity to wrestle in GCW, which by name value is a much more, it's a much bigger company than Sup. Like, GCW has been more established. It's been around a long time. And, you know, it's a pretty big deal, to be a part of GCW. And for Brett to be able to come out in front of his home crowd, I mean, the same people that go to GCW are the same people that are going to go to Sup. So for him to come out in that same building and be able to wrestle Matthew Justice and Mance Warner, I mean, huge. I mean, as a fan, like, I just have so much, like, pride in that, just watching a guy, just because he's somebody, he just works so hard. That's all I can really say. He just works so hard. Like, he's not the most physically gifted guy. He's not the most technically skilled guy. He's not the strongest guy. He's not the fastest guy. But he goes out there and he's just tough as hell. He's tough as hell, and he very believable in what he does. He takes the wrestling business incredibly seriously. He always makes his opponents look good, and he pulls off his role very, very, very well. So huge shout out to Brett Eisen. Mance Warner, I've talked about it at length of this show also. I mean, he's up there with Matthew Justice as far as, like, guys that are, like, ready for that next level right now. Like, Mance Warner could easily show up in AEW and be a top guy, in my opinion. He's a throwback. If you're unfamiliar with Mance Warner, you know, check it out, because he does a lot of the crazy deathmatch type stuff too. But he's like this 80s throwback type redneck wrestler, but he fits so well with the 2020 scene with what he does, and his facial expressions are perfect, and he's so good as his character. So I know I've talked a lot about this match, but, you know, check out this whole show, but this match especially, near and dear to my heart. That's Matthew Justice, Brett Eisen versus Mance Warner. We also had AJ Gray, who I just mentioned as, you know, somebody who helped build Southern Underground Pro, versus JJ Garrett versus Alley Cat, just mentioned her as well, versus Shane Mercer versus Manders versus Logan Stunt versus Alex Zane, in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think it's a 7-person match. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. Logan Stunt, of course, the brother of Marco Stunt, who is also on this show. If you're unfamiliar with Logan, I actually think he's, I'm not going to say better in the ring than Marco, but he presents something very different in the ring. Like, he's also, he's like the same size as Marco, if you've never seen him before. But he does more kind of MMA-based stuff, and he has, like, a legitimate background in MMA-style training. So, like, he throws really nice, like, spinning heel kicks and stuff like that. Whereas Marco, I mean, is just, like, the master of selling. Like, Marco is the man. Like, anybody who has a problem with him being a part of AEW, I think, like, I understand the size being distracting, but if you, when you can get over that and realize what he's really doing in there, you got to respect it. Like, and I'll talk about Marco, you know, he's also on this show, but yeah, Logan is somebody that I think we will see a lot more of in the future. Very talented. He started later in the business than Marco did, but I think we'll see him at a high level. Him and Marco as a tag team at some point down the line in AEW, I think, makes total sense. Manders, I've also talked about a lot on this show. He's somebody that really broke out this past year, mainly after his win in the Future Showcase in Chattanooga at the SCI tournament. So huge shout out there. Alex Zane, somebody also, you know, part of this match that probably doesn't get enough credit for how good he is. He's crazy. He does some incredibly crazy stuff, high flying stuff. Every time I've ever seen Alex Zane wrestle, I've always come out of it like, that guy's just thinking like that guy's crazy. I really liked watching that guy be way crazier than he should have been. Good stuff there. And he's also a huge mark for Taco Bell. So, gotta love that, right? Up next, we had Jimmy Lloyd versus Marcus Crane, followed by Tracy Smothers versus Nate Webb, which is, that's a wild matchup. Tracy Smothers has been wrestling forever. He's an incredibly nice guy, though. I talked to him in person at the Nashville Fairgrounds a few years ago, and he couldn't have been any nicer. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, isn't trying to, like, I respect everyone who's got their hustle. You know, I know there's a lot of wrestlers who, you know, charge for pictures and autographs and stuff like that. And if that's your thing, I'm not going to knock you for it. But Tracy Smothers is the kind of guy where, like, you just, like, walk up to him. Like, when he's not doing signings and stuff like that, you just walk up to him and just shake his hand and just thank him for, like, all the years he's put into this business of professional wrestling. And he'll sit there and, like, I don't think I even asked him. I think he was like, hey, you want a picture? Like, I wasn't even, like, I don't think I even asked. And he was, like asked if I wanted any autographs and stuff like that. Just, like, I wasn't talking to him, like, you know what I mean? I wasn't talking to him for that reason. Like, I wasn't trying to get free stuff from him or anything like that. But he's just such a nice guy and so appreciative of people just coming up and just talking to him about whatever. I told him that I remembered him best from his time in ECW as a part of the Full-Blooded Italians, which is hilarious because he's clearly not Italian at all. But, you know, he was super old even then and now. I mean, geez. And to see him wrestling in Game Changer Wrestling against Nate Webb, who's another guy who's been around forever, one of the best entrance themes in all of professional wrestling. But yeah, just wild that matchup took place. In the main event, the GCW World title was on the line. Champion Nick Gage took on Marco Stunt. Obviously, Nick Gage, I mean, what more can you say about him other than, you know, if you know, you know. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Nick Gage, just a legend of hardcore / deathmatch wrestling. And if you don't know about his whole history and past and stuff, it's a long one, but it's something that I think you should check out. And you'd be surprised at some of the stuff that this guy's been involved with, but has persevered and is as over as ever. And it's funny because there was one time I watched him wrestle live in Chattanooga at a show in a high school gym, and he wasn't allowed to do, like, any of the hardcore type stuff. it was like strictly prohibited. There was a lot of small children that were at this show, you know. It was like a school event type thing. And by the end of the show, all the kids, like the line for kids to meet wrestlers, there were some great wrestlers on this show. A lot of really, really, actually, not, I can't say bigger names because Nick Gage is such a big name, but like to these kids, this is the first time I think most of them had ever seen Nick Gage. And they were probably familiar with a few of the other guys. And Nick Gage's line of like kids waiting to like meet him after that show was longer than anybody. Like the kids loved Nick Gage. It was so funny. But anyway, shout out Nick Gage. He took on Marco Stunt. I've already talked about him a bit on this show, but like I said, I mean, he's, what he's doing is people trash him being in AEW. And it's one of these things where like, if he was out there choke slamming people and power bombing people and, you know, hitting all these power moves and stuff, that'd be one thing. But what he's doing is it makes sense psychology wise for the sake of, you know, sports entertainment, pro wrestling or whatever. Like he chops people down, he gets them to his size, and then he hits them with moves that are believably like that are believable that he could actually pull off. Like, and there's a lot of times where he's used as the weapon itself where Luchasaurus will pick him up over his head and like throw him battering ram style into opponents and stuff like that. And when he's not getting offense in, which is, you know, the amount of time Marco's hitting offense is what, maybe 20% of his matches. The other 80% or so, he's out there just selling his ass off and making his opponent look better than he looked going into the match. So I'm not, this isn't like a big, like, give me getting on my soapbox and just like defending Marco's stunt and like, you know, pointing down at anybody else who doesn't. But I think people who dislike Marco do it for the wrong reasons. They see a small guy and they just immediately kind of hate the idea that this guy's getting this kind of opportunity. That goes for fans and for other wrestlers. You know, Gunnar Miller went online. He's another guy I've interviewed in the past. Like, good dude. Like, somebody I get along with fine. And have over the years. Like, I've seen him in person multiple times since our interview, and he's always been super cool to me. And his dad as well. Him and his dad would travel to a lot of the shows together. And both of them, good guys. But he said a lot of really controversial stuff about Marco Stunt getting opportunities, mainly the opportunities getting in AEW. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And I don't agree with what Gunnar Miller said, by the way. But, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'm very pro-free speech. He more than has the right to state his opinion. He's not threatening anybody. He's just giving his opinion. It was an opinion that I think was inaccurate, but it was an opinion that he's more than welcome to make. So it's one of these things where, like, you know, Marco, I'll even admit it, right? Like, when the first time I saw Marco Stunt wrestle, I, like, legitimately thought it was a joke. I had heard about him through Robert Bellamy, who is known as Mouse. He's, in my opinion, the best independent wrestling photographer in the world. He, not just independent, like if he was working for like the WWE, he'd be the best WWE photographer. I mean, this guy, the guy's work ethic, he makes so many towns and does such incredible work, you know, during the matches, during the entrances, behind the scenes, promo pictures, everything. Robert Bellamy is an unsung hero in independent wrestling. Like, he's somebody that everybody knows. Like, if you're in that scene, you know who Mouse is. But he's somebody that, like, really, I mean, if there was an independent wrestling Hall of Fame, like, I'd have Mouse in that. I'm not even kidding. Like, I that's how good he is at what he does. And he knows the town incredibly well. And he told me about Marco Stunt. And I saw him shortly after. And I was like, this is weird. Like, this kid's going to get hurt. Like, this is not, like, I really wasn't into it when I first saw it. I was interested in seeing it, but I like seeing the size difference and stuff between him and the people he was wrestling and whatnot. And he was doing some really cool moves, but I was like, this guy's going to get so hurt. I was afraid for him, you know, and he did get hurt eventually. I think it was the GCW show, where he got the Canadian Destroyer on the outside through I think it was either through a table or a door, and his leg snapped on the guardrail. It was disgusting. But all that said, after watching Marco wrestle a few times, especially in person, like up there close to the ring, and like really kind of watching for certain things that I look for, I completely changed my mind on him. I even told people, like, who probably resent me saying this stuff, but I told people off the record, like, during and after some of these shows when I first seen Marco, where I was like, yeah, I mean, he's kind of fun to watch, but, like, he's never going to go anywhere. Like, the WWE's never going to sign him. And WWE didn't sign him, but at the time, AEW wasn't even a thing. Nobody knew that was coming. But when I really started, like, changing my opinion, I saw how over he got at the Joey Janela Lost in New York, where he came out of the crowd, hit his, like, around the world code breaker thing that he does, and the place went absolutely insane. And I think that also led to him getting a different level of confidence. And I'm not saying that that's, like, the thing that, like, changed my mind, was, like, he did this one thing and he gained this confidence, and, like, that's, I'm just saying, I think that was a thing that played a part in how good he got after that. Like, he was already very talented, and I was underrating him. Like, I'll fully admit that. I've totally underestimated him. And he, I think after moments like that, after winning, he became the Bone Storm champion at SUP. He beat Dominic Green for that championship. You know, after winning these titles and gaining this kind of confidence, I think that's when he really, the switch flipped for me. Where maybe I just saw him differently after these kind of things. Maybe the work was already always there. But there was something about the way he carried himself after that. And also the buzz that surrounded him. There's so many more people were getting behind him. And I kind of was on that wave also. I was like, you know what? I don't know why I'm kind of hating on this kid. Like, this doesn't make sense. Like, everything that he's doing right. Like I mentioned before, the way he wrestles and all that stuff. But on top of that, like, anyway, I just to see what he is now, I'm incredibly happy for him. Incredibly happy. And he 1,000,000% deserves his spot in AEW. Also, throw out, you know, Blake Christensen was a part of this show. He's one of the best up-and-coming young talents in the world. If you don't know about him, I would highly recommend checking out any of his matches. He recently had a really good match against Bret Eisen at SUP, which is worth talking about, worth watching for sure. Greeny and Q, I talk about them on every episode. Incredible tag team. Better as a tag team than they are individually, in my opinion, but both are good singles wrestlers. Kerry Offal and Nick Gigi. Yeah, Kerry Offal has been taking some time away from the ring, but he's somebody that they're all, you know, also known as the Carnies, and Trip Cassidy is a part of that group as a trio. They, Kerry Offal recently had a kid, and I think that he's kind of stepped away from the ring for the time being, for the most part, but he's very involved in the training of a lot of the people, even that I've mentioned probably on this show today. But Kerry Offal and Nick Gigi, guys that, very much get a lot of respect and a lot of praise within the Southern, especially the Southeast, independent wrestling scene for what they've done, especially for, you know, training new people and stuff. So I know I've already talked for about a half hour about the show, but since, you know what, there's hardly any results to talk about this week, so I figured I'd just give my my opinion of all these wrestlers as well, I guess. So once again, my recommended show this week on IWTV is GCW's Lights Out. It's available right now on demand. Next we have my free match that you can check out on YouTube right now. Normally I give Ring of Honor results, because there are no results to give this week. I am going to give you another free match that they've put on their website, or on their YouTube channel, I should say. It is the Young Bucks versus Kevin Steen and El Generico, a tag team match from Ring of Honor Contention 2009. So obviously the Young Bucks at this point wrestling for AEW, also executive vice presidents for the company. Kevin Steen performs in the WWE as Kevin Owens, and El Generico performs as Sami Zayn in the WWE, who is currently the Intercontinental Champion. I believe he's still the Intercontinental Champion, isn't he? Can't even remember. Yeah, he beat Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania to retain the belt. That's right. So, an incredible tag team match. Two incredible tag teams. If you are listening to this show and you somehow, or I shouldn't say somehow, but you, if you missed, you know, Steen and Generico's run on the independent scene, this is a good match to check out. Against, you know, a really, really great tag team. The four of these are, you can't miss. When you have the four of these performers in the ring at the same time, it's always going to be good. So You can check that out right now for free. It's on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel. It's the Young Bucks versus Steen and Generico from ROH Contention 2009. And that is my recommended free match on YouTube. Moving on to the only set of results I have this week. It's Impact Wrestling. Started off with Johnny Swinger defeating Mike Jackson. Yes, a performer named Mike Jackson. He got the win when he rolled Mike up and put his feet on the ropes for the 1-2-3. After that, TJP and Fall of Baugh defeated Reno Scum, Team Triple XL, and the Rascals. Almost said the Radicals. Wrong era. The Rascals is what I meant to say. The finish came when TJP counters the Doomsday Device. Baugh hits a Samoan drop, and TJP hits a diving splash for the 1-2-3. After that, Rahit Raju is defeated by Hernandez. The finish comes by border toss. So Hernandez over Rahit Raju with a border toss in a complete squash match. It was literally like bell rang, border toss, 1-2-3. So it looks like they're really trying to rebuild Hernandez again as like a monster. And I mean, I'm okay with it. The guy's always had a lot of talent. It's just kind of like his time. I feel like his time has already kind of come and gone in Impact. Like he's had so many different runs and opportunities to like be one of the top guys that I don't really necessarily care anymore. But at the same time, like I'm not hating on it because I do think he's a great performer, but well, I guess we'll see. It all comes down to booking at the end of the day, I guess. And him, you know, holding up in the ring. After that, we had Ace Austin defeating Trey Miguel. Finish came when Ace rolled Trey up and used the tights to get the pin. After that, Tenille Dashwood defeated Tad Valkyrie. Got the win with a roll-up as well. I mean, a lot of roll-up wins on this show, but cool to see Tenille Dashwood get a win. I mean, Ty Valkyrie has been, heavily featured on Impact Wrestling for quite a while now, a few years now. And Tenille Dashwood, used to be known as Emma back in the WWE. And I'm a big fan of Emma's. I think she's good in the ring. I think she's very, very attractive as well. And I hope she does big things with Impact, but I don't know how reliable she is. I have no idea what her deal with Impact looks like. When she was with Ring of Honor, she was a part of the Lifeblood stable and was only there pretty much for like the first week or maybe a couple weeks before she disappeared because of not resigning with the company or whatever it was. So I don't know how long she'll be in Impact, but if she's going to be there for a little while, I think they should feature her in a pretty prominent role. After the match, Ty Valkyrie attacks Neil Dashwood and then Jordan Grace runs her off. We see backstage stuff between Tommy Dreamer and Rhino and OVE. They challenge them to an Extreme Rules match at Rebellion. Then we get recaps for Ken Shamrock and Sami Callihan. The main event of the show is basically Sami Callihan meeting Ken Shamrock. They do a contract signing. And, there's, of course, a... So this is the end of this is how the show ends. I'll just read it out. So Ken flips the table for the contract over. The lights go out. Sammy disappears. And then various people wearing ICU masks are all around the ringside area. And then it goes backstage. And Ken Shamrock's like chasing down someone in the masks. Ken gets into a car and he gets mobbed by people who are in the ICU masks. So, we'll see where all that goes. Strange storyline. Strange to see Ken Shamrock so heavily featured in Impact Wrestling in 2020. But, we'll see where it goes. If they were going to feature Shamrock in this kind of role, I think he should have defeated Moose when they wrestled at, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was. But I think Shamrock should have won that match if they were going to do Shamrock and Callihan next. Although, of course, I guess Callihan's kind of coming off some big losses. The big main loss, I guess, being him losing the belt to Tessa Blanchard. So it's kind of a strange matchup for a lot of different reasons. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sami Callihan has consistently over-delivered every time I've watched pretty much any of his matches from 2019. The few that he had this year. Like, I have always gone into those matches, no matter how many times you prove me wrong. I've always gone into those matches thinking like, all right, we'll see. we'll see if this is as good as I hope it is. Like I hope it's okay. I hope this match is better than average. And then I come out of the match like, ooh, that was really damn good. So in that regard, shout out to Sami Callihan and, you know, shout out to Ken Shamrock. I don't necessarily want to see him wrestling in 2020, but, you know, he is a legend of mixed martial arts, and he is one of, if not, you know, the main reason that I got into the UFC as early as I did, as far as, you know, being interested in the sport of mixed martial arts and stuff. So I'll always have a part of, you know, gratitude and debt towards Ken Shamrock for helping kind of open that door for me via kind of VHS tapes and stuff like that back in the day. But it is weird seeing him and Callihan in 2020 wrestling each other. All right, let's talk about some of these WWE and NXT talents that have been released. Now, I don't think I have like the full list, and I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to kind of just run down this list. I'm going to give you where I hope each of these people end up. So I'm just going to run down the list, and essentially, you know, I'm not going to say WWE or NXT for any of these people because they were just let go from that company, but I do expect a lot of these names, at least some of these names, to be rehired when the WWE is able to rehire them. Some of them have been quote-unquote furloughed, which essentially means you've been let go, but you're let go with the full intention of being brought back. Some of these people were just outright released from their contract, so there is a difference there. I'm not going to differentiate the people being furloughed versus let go. I'm going to consider them all just let go as far as this is concerned, because I'm going into all this assuming that all these people will have conversations with other companies. So I'm going to start with one that came out the other day, Cassius Ohno. I think that he would be suited very, very, very well in AEW or New Japan. I prefer to see him in New Japan right now, but I would not hate the idea of him in AEW. He's somebody that was, in my opinion, very underused throughout his run in NXT these past few years. He came in, you know, this is his second stint with the company, or was his second stint with the company. The first stint didn't go over very well because of the way he left, I believe. He was pretty heavily featured in like the really early days of NXT, and then just kind of, you know, I think it was a mixture of quitting and getting let go. I think it just wasn't working out for anybody involved. And then he went back out to the indies, absolutely killed it, became one of the biggest stars out there, and then was rehired. He was put immediately in a title match against Bobby Roode that he lost. And at the time, I thought maybe he should have won because Shinsuke Nakamura was there as one of the top people at that time. And I think there would have been a lot of interest in a Shinsuke Nakamura versus Cassius Ohno NXT title match at that time. It would have been a really big deal. But ever since that loss, he just kind of was never put back in that other spot, in that main event type spot. You know, he had some matches at TakeOver, but most of the time he was in there to put over and make other people look good, or just wasn't like heavily featured. The main match that comes to mind for me is when Lars Sullivan beat him clean on a TakeOver show. That was, for me, was really the writing on the wall of where they really felt his value was, which was much lower than what I thought his value should have been. Yeah, just is what it is. You know, he was doing some good work in NXT UK recently, so that is a bummer to see that he's been, let go or furloughed. Drake Maverick, I for the sake of time, I'm not going to go as deep on all these people as I did, you know, Cassius Ohno just then. For the rest of these, I'm just going to go down the list, because there's a lot of people, and it would just take way too long to give full analysis on why I think these people should go where they're going. But if you have any thoughts or opinions on this stuff, feel free to let me know in the comments underneath this this podcast right here at Fightful Select, or let me know on Twitter at @FightTalk_. So, Cassius Ohno, and I'll give one, we'll just go down the list and see how this goes. So Cassius Ohno, I'm going to say New Japan, Drake Maverick, Impact, EC3, Impact. Oh, you know what? No, I'll change that. Drake Maverick and EC3, AEW. Both of them, I think, deserve a big spotlight on AEW. Although, if if they did return to Impact Wrestling, they would immediately be main event people. As a unit, you know, you'd have EC3 and Drake Maverick kind of being his tag team partner slash manager. Gallows and Anderson, New Japan. AEW would make sense given their ties, but New Japan's probably a better fit right now. Lio Rush, AEW. Eric Young, probably Impact Wrestling. If not, maybe NWA. So I'll say NWA for Eric Young. Kurt Hawkins, I'd say Impact Wrestling is probably his best bet. Unless he goes with Ryder. I think I'll get to Ryder, but unless he go, I think Hawkins would be really well suited in Impact as a singles wrestler for a little while. Heath Slater, same thing, Impact Wrestling or NWA. Possibly even Ring of Honor. Lance Storm, I think WWE will rehire him, but if not, I don't know where he'll wind up as a producer. Shane Helms, I think, will wind up in AEW if WWE doesn't hire him back. Mike Rotunda, no idea. Maybe like NWA or something like that. Fit Finley, same thing. AEW, unless WWE hires him back. Pat Buck, I think, could be really well used in somewhere like Impact or Ring of Honor as a producer. Kidman, AEW, unless WWE doesn't bring him back. Sean Daivari, maybe Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, stuff like that as a booker slash agent. Scott Armstrong, maybe NWA, I think would be a really good fit for him. Sarah Stock, I'm really not sure for Sarah Stock, to be fully honest. Maybe Ring of Honor. Kurt Angle, I think that Kurt Angle would be an incredible manager for Chad Gable. If Chad Gable got released by the company, I'm not saying that I hope he does or anything like that, but if he did, I think Chad Gable going to AEW and Kurt Angle being his manager would be perfect. But I'll say Kurt Angle, he could wind up anywhere. But if he wants to stay on as like a producer or whatever, I think WWE will bring him back. But if not, I think he'd be really well suited in AEW or Impact to help out young talent. Aiden English, probably Ring of Honor or Impact. Mike Chioda, anywhere. I mean, anywhere that needs a referee, he'll wind up. He's a legend in that world. Sarah Logan, I see her probably in Impact Women's Division. Mike Kanellis, AEW, Impact, or Ring of Honor. I'm not sure. Probably best suited in Impact. Same with Maria Kanellis. Primo Colon and Epico Colon. Have no idea. They haven't been on TV for so long. I'll just say, I have no idea. I'll say Impact for them. Eric Rowan, I'll say maybe like NWA or Impact. Zack Ryder, AEW all the way. 100% Zack Ryder to AEW. Can't wait for that either, because I think he'll be used in a completely different, he'll be seen in a completely different light than what he was seen in the WWE. I think Zack Ryder getting released is going to be the best thing that's ever happened for his career. I know that he's a lifelong diehard WWE fan who always wanted to work for that company, and that's a bummer to lose your dream job over something that no one can control, but I think Zack Ryder's going to be way better off in AEW. Noé Jose, probably Ring of Honor or Impact. Rusev, that's a really interesting one. I'm going to say New Japan is the best fit for him. AEW would make a lot of sense, but I think that if he can go to New Japan and become like, you know, go over there and wrestle someone like Tomohiro Ishii, you know, go over there and have some, become kind of the Bulgarian Brute again, I think that could be really interesting. Gianna Perrazzo, probably AEW or Impact. Impact's got a good women's division, and AEW needs help. So those are all the names that I've got. I know that there's some I've probably missed, but like I said, let me know in the comments below. Let me know on Twitter at @FightTalk_. And that's going to be it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender. I hope you all enjoyed it. I will see you next Sunday. Until then, enjoy some professional wrestling.